Welcome, viewers and listeners, to another edition of CHP Talks. I'm here today with former Sergeant Detective Donald Best. And Donald, thank you for joining us today on CHP Talks.
My pleasure. Thanks very much for having me on.
Yeah.
And the story we're going to look at is, in my opinion, one of the most important stories I've ever covered.
Wow. So I'll tell folks a little bit about you, Donald. Donald Best is a former sergeant detective with the Toronto Police, responsible for investigating Canadian police, lawyers, and politicians involved in organized crime. Can you believe there are actually politicians involved in crime? He's a leading Canadian anti-corruption whistleblower and activist. Looking at the wall behind him, I think he must be a guitar player as well. In his ongoing legal cases and public advocacy, Mr. Best has exposed corruption in the Canadian legal profession, including secret orders and investigations by judges, the submission of false evidence in court by lawyers, and the failure of disciplinary bodies such as the Law Society of Ontario and the Canadian Judicial Council to investigate complaints against judges and lawyers. Mr. Best's tireless efforts to create integrity and accountability in the Canadian legal system make him an exemplary leader in the fight for equality before and under the law of all Canadians, including self-represented litigants. And it was something that's dear to my heart. In 2018, Mr. Best received the Ontario Civil Liberties Award for 2018, and we're really privileged to have him joining us today. And again, thank you for taking the time to be with us today, Mr. Best.
Thanks for those kind words, Ron. Great to be here.
So we're going to get to a current story that's going on with Sergeant Detective Helen Gruse. Have I got that correct?
Pronunciation? Correct. Detective Helen Gruse of the Ottawa Police Service.
Yeah. And so we're going to get into that. But first, I want to just, when I was on your website, Donald, I saw that you yourself have gone through the ringer in terms of as a police officer. You've faced some charges that you've since been entirely vindicated, but you were a victim of internal corruption within the judicial system. Hard to call it a legal system because they do some things that are done are illegal. But do you want to just talk about that very briefly, and then we'll get on to the situation with Detective Gruse?
Sure. Well, for the first 15 years of my law enforcement career, I was with the Toronto Police. I did very well. I was promoted soon and regularly, and I ended up as a sergeant detective. And at the end, when I left the police in 1990, I had to make a choice between night shift and my family. I ended up with three children on my own, and you can't work night shift and be a police officer. So I left the police force. I did very well there. At the end, I was the staff investigator for the Ontario Association of Chiefs of Police, and the deputy threw a nice little party for me, and I went on my own. After that, I ended up being a private investigator. I eventually founded my own firm. I had upwards of 20 people working for me. But it was funny, it was the same thing that I had done as a police officer. And that was just tracking down criminals and investigating crime because we're in a situation now where law enforcement just can't handle it. They don't have the resources, sometimes they don't have the expertise. So law firms, ordinary people, and corporations are forced, and this is a terrible thing, but it's the reality. They're forced to hire former police officers like myself to investigate frauds and sophisticated crimes where the police just don't have the time, resources, or the expertise. And that's what I did for many, many years. So during that time, I became involved with an investigation into an estate in Barbados, the country of Barbados. Now, this estate was worth upwards of $1 billion US. And it was a man who had been very successful, and he had left that estate to all his children. There were many, many children. And one was a daughter, an elderly lady, and she was a chicken farmer. And I can tell you that, and I believe her share was about $140-150 million US. And that doesn't last long on that island when given to an elderly lady who's unsophisticated. So I was brought in because there was a fraud going on, and I was brought in to help by members of the family. And so that case took me to Europe. It took me to the United States, down in the Caribbean. And I'm happy to report that just a couple of years ago in Florida, the judgment was given in that case, and it was the largest civil RICO judgment in the state history, over $300 million US awarded to the family on the basis of my investigation and case management and my years undercover in the case. And I'm very grateful, and well, I guess I'm proud of it. It was good to do something good, because they were up against the government. They were up against corrupt lawyers in Canada and the United States and down the Caribbean. But I got caught up in that too. So my company had been involved in the lawsuit surrounding this. And in 2009, I was traveling in Asia. Well, some corrupt big Bay Street lawyers in Canada, and they're all named on my website. I'm not going to name them here, just to keep it brief, but they're all named on my website. And they're named on my website because I have evidence, which is exactly the following. In 2009, they went to a judge and they got an order while I was traveling. It was a civil case, a civil case, to depose me, just discovery, normal thing. But they lied. They said they had served me in Canada. I never got it. I was traveling in Asia. So I had been phoning the court, and I discovered that the very next day, there was a requirement for me to present myself for questioning in Toronto. So I called from where I was in Asia, and I spoke to these three corrupt lawyers, and I asked them to bring a court clerk into the room, a reporter, so that there would be a record of our conversation. They refused. I started answering questions, and they asked me many times, "You must have received this order." And 12 times I said, "No, I didn't receive the order. I heard about it because just yesterday afternoon I phoned the court to see what was happening with the case. But here I am, I'm willing to answer questions." 12 times they asked me, "You must have received that order." Well, I said 12 times no. After a half an hour of that, they refused to bring in a court reporter. They asked me some questions, and then they stopped and they said, "You have to present yourself." And I said, "Well, I'm unable to right now, but you know, we can certainly make another date. Everything's fine." And they hung up on me right in mid-sentence. But it was one of those old conference phones. Remember those? They looked like some sort of a triangle, a star on the table.
Yeah.
They didn't hang it up correctly. So I kept my mouth shut and I listened to them as they plotted to fabricate evidence and tell the judge that I told them that I had received a copy of the order and I wasn't going to answer any questions, and the judge can just stick it where the sun don't shine. That's about what they said. I heard all that. I recorded it. I had recorded the whole conversation. And being a detective, I knew that if I recorded it, any conversation on two separate recorders at the same time, that any forensic specialist would be able to attest that these were real, they were not modified. And so I had done that because I didn't trust these fellas, you see. So they left that meeting and they went to another room and they created a report for the judge that falsely told the judge that I assured them I had received the order and that I refused to answer questions and I was contemptuous of the judge. They did that.
Wow.
Then they took that and they had a secret meeting with the judge, a secret trial. I wasn't notified of it. And they gave that written report of the meeting to the judge that was false. And they also backed it up with oral testimony on the record. They lied, perjury, obstruct justice, fabricate evidence. They did it all. So the judge found me guilty of contempt of court in a civil matter, sentenced me to 3 months in jail, and put out a Canada-wide warrant for my arrest. Well, I heard about this in Asia, and I thought, wow, these foolish men, I have these recordings. All I have to do is go home, present the recordings to the judge. The judge will rescind the warrant and put them in jail. Right, Rod?
That sounds like a good way that it could have been resolved.
Sure. So I went back. I hired a lawyer so that the arrest warrant could be stayed so that I wouldn't be arrested arriving in Canada as I flew in. So I came back. I hired a lawyer and we went before the judge and a couple of things happened. First of all, when the lawyer discovered that I did have these recordings that proved his colleagues, you know, members of the club lied and were at criminal risk of going to prison, he abandoned me.
Well.
I was forced to self-represent. He abandoned me 2 weeks before Christmas, Hanukkah. Imagine trying to find a lawyer over Christmas and Hanukkah,
yeah,
because the judge only gave me 2 weeks to find a lawyer. He was in on it. You'll hear more about that.
Yeah.
So I was forced to represent myself. And in a series of hearings where I represented myself, the judge refused to open the case and accept the new evidence of the recordings. And without the evidence of the recordings, there was only the evidence on file of the lawyers falsely swearing and that they had fabricated evidence. And at the end of it, in May, June of 2013, my hearing ended. And the judge didn't allow the new evidence, put the warrant back in force, and sent me to jail for 3 months. So corrupt.
Incredible, incredible.
By the way, I tried to find a new lawyer. 138 lawyers from Ontario refused to represent me, declined to represent me. Some said they had gone to school with the lawyers who did this. Others said that they had conflicts of interest because they went to the same synagogue or the same church. Others said that they feared that their business would be destroyed, or they told me that some of these large law firms, when there's a conflict of interest, they give these smaller law firms very lucrative cases. Others told me that they had a policy. They would not take cases where the careers of other lawyers could be harmed.
Well, that's
so 100. Oh, and I approached the Law Society of Ontario, yeah, and they said, "Here's a list of lawyers. Have fun dialing them."
Mm. Well, that is incredible, Donald.
Oh, but as they say, remember those old commercials? But wait, there's more.
Yeah.
So, I am. Court ends. The judge leaves. I'm taken into custody. The court reporter leaves. The defense, everybody leaves. I'm left in shackles and handcuffs. And I'm led downstairs to go to prison, to the court cells, to be transferred to prison. And the judge goes into his office, some back room, and without putting it on the court record, without making a notation in the judge's notes, without notifying anybody, he created a new warrant for my imprisonment that doubled my sentence. He did it without telling me. I'm a self-represented litigant. He did it without putting a record in the court. The only copy of that warrant was delivered with me to the prison because he was corrupt and he was protecting his friends. Why did he double the sentence? Because that took me past the date of appeal. You see?
That
just in case
incredible.
I found a lawyer.
That is incredible.
So how corrupt was that? Well, look, in the end, I'll end it now. In the end, I ended up doing 63 days, every day in solitary confinement, because that's the only way they could keep me alive as an ex-police officer. And that was horrific. I wrote a story in the Globe and Mail for that, and Canadians would not believe. I won't go into that now, but you just would not believe what is done to people, ordinary human beings in this country. You have no idea. It's torture. The lights are on 24 hours a day. There's much more, but we'll leave that. I came out with my eyes wide open, and you know, I have my God, I have my family, I have my friends. But these poor souls in there who have nobody on the outside, I came out a changed person, my perspective. Yeah. I can't imagine what they would. So anyway, that's my background, and since that time, I've been fully vindicated. The former commissioner of the Ontario Provincial Police, Julian Fantino, and former minister of government, he investigated the whole thing. He came to the conclusions and got the evidence. He said that he would, had he known at the time when he was commissioner, that one of his men took a bribe, and that these lawyers being corrupt and the judge and such, he would have arrested them all. He swore to that. He testified in my favor. I've spoken at law schools all across the country. I've spoken at the Law Society of Ontario. So I'm fully vindicated. And in 2018, I was the sole recipient of the Ontario Civil Liberties Award for much of what I've just told you. So yeah, I'm fully vindicated.
Yeah.
But there's lots who aren't found guilty, innocent, but found guilty. And they'll never be vindicated. Lots of them.
That's
because the system is just corrupt. Sorry, but it is.
Amazing story. And that, you know, I'm going to be looking into that more deeply. I just want to understand. And of course, every time there is an injustice of that nature, our society is weakened, you know, like our democracy. When people lose confidence in those who are supposed to be exemplary models of integrity, you know, justice. I mean, the justice system, of course, when it's unjust, then it becomes a mockery. But there's another case, and that's, we're going to talk about that now, and that is Detective Helen Gruce. Can you give our viewers and listeners an understanding of what took place, why Detective Helen Gruce is in the news, and why things are being kept from the public regarding her situation, and where that is at today? Some people may know about her situation, but if you start from square one, then everybody will understand what it is that we're up against in the Ottawa police force.
It's more than the Ottawa police force. It's much bigger, but yes, that's where it's happening. That's where it's happening, Rod. I can tell you this is, I think, the most important case that's happening right now in Canada and out of all the cases, because it goes to two very, very important issues. One, do police officers have the authority and the autonomy to investigate as their duty tells them, to be true to their oath? Or will they be controlled by politics, politicians, and political agendas, or corporate agendas? But that's what's happened in this case. And the second thing is, we have an officer, in this case, Detective Bruce, who investigated a cluster of 9 sudden infant deaths in the Ottawa region. And according to testimony that I heard starting on August 14th, we just finished 5 days of hearings. They will continue in October and then even into January. But from the testimony that I heard, there was a cluster of 9 sudden infant deaths in the Ottawa area. And these are just deaths investigated by the police. Those sudden infant deaths that go directly to the hospital, they're something else. They're not included in this cluster. But in this cluster, it was apparently, so testimony told us, either 2 or 3 times larger than the normal number of sudden infant deaths annually. And that's something. So Detective Groos, as a member of the SACA squad, Sexual Assault and Child Abuse Squad, and that's a tough job. Child abuse, sexual assault, it's a tough, tough job. And in any police force, usually only the best of the best will be there. And Detective Groos, I think she has about 20 years on, and we heard her annual reviews repeated in court during the hearing, and her review for 2021 was absolutely exemplary. Excellent, excellent, excellent team player. We are so lucky to have Detective Groos on our team. She looks after everything and looks after the new people, instructs them, and we are recommending her for promotion. Well, that was in mid-2021. But then the vax mandates arrived. And Detective Groos, in September of 2021, wrote a letter to the chief, and it was an open letter to everyone, saying they questioned the safety and the efficacy of the vaccines, the mRNA new technology experimental vaccines that were approved for urgent use only or emergency use only. And she asked openly if people are injured, if police officers who are mandated to and police personnel to inject this to keep their jobs, if they're injured or die, will the police organization look after them? Will they look after our families? And of course, that went over like a lead balloon.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yes. So we heard she became ostracized, and she was one of, according to the newspapers, only 10 Ottawa police personnel refused either to get the vaccine or to refuse whether they'd had it. They stood on their personal medical autonomy, and she was one of these officers. It got so bad that they moved her out of the squad into another office way out in the sticks and the boonies because she was ostracized. And then came the Christmas party, the office Christmas party, Christmas 2021. She's a senior officer. She had been recommended for promotion, and she was told she was not invited to the Christmas party. She had to work that night.
Wow.
Usually, look, we've all been in organizations. Who works during the Christmas party? The new guys, the young guys, you have to pay your dues, right?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Nope. No, 20 years on, and she was told this was it. So it was total ostracization. In January, she started wondering more and more about the sudden infant deaths, whether there was any connection between breastfed babies and mothers who have vaccination status. And of course, now we know. The Center for Disease Control has admitted it. The Pfizer documents and the Center for Disease Control admitted that breastfed babies of vaccinated mothers are subject to injury and death, and that it's happened. The Pfizer documents concluded the same thing. And all of this has come since. But back in January of 2021, Detective Gruce was just a very diligent, intelligent, duty-driven police officer, just doing her job. So on January 30th, 2022, Detective Gruce called one of the parents, a father of these nine sudden infant death investigations. None of these were hers. She wasn't assigned to any of them. But, you know, that doesn't matter. As a police officer, you have autonomy. And there's a whole, I could go into a lecture for 2 hours as I used to at the police college when I taught there, that you have autonomy. And we've set up the police this way so that corporations and politicians cannot direct the efforts of police officers, you know. Hit that bar over there, but leave that one alone because that's one of my friends. Leave that corporation alone. Don't look at that offense. Go over here and get one of my political opponents. No, we've set up the system so that individual police officers are individual agents of the state, of the crown. So what she was doing was not improper. She looked at the computerized records of the sudden infant death investigations, and she saw that they were not done correctly. They were not done to the standards that they should have been. None of them indicated whether or not the police officers had looked into the vaccinated status and breastfeeding status to see if there was anything to do with the, you know, did the vaccine in any way, is it possible that it caused the death of an infant? Mm-hmm. So none of this had been done. So she looked into that. Well, one of her colleagues, that speculation that it was one of her colleagues on the same squad, but it was a police officer, we know that, complained to the chief. On February 4th, Detective Gruce was suspended. And she was under investigation by professional standards, internal affairs, for this horrendous, horrendous action of hers of wondering, could there possibly be a connection, a causative factor in these sudden infant deaths having anything to do with these new experimental injections? And the system came down on her like a ton of bricks. Now I proved, and it's on the stories on my website, donaldbest.ca, donaldbest.ca. I covered this case extensively, and I learned and made some secretly recorded phone calls that confirmed that as early as March 2022, the public personnel from the Public Health Agency of Canada were influencing the Ottawa police investigation of Detective Gruce. Mm. How about that? Isn't that something?
Yeah, the organization was influencing them was what? The
Public Health Agency of Canada, the same federal agency responsible for approving these experimental vaccines, pushing it, advising the governments on the mandates, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, we've seen this movie before with you know, Prime Minister Trudeau and some of the scandals that have been involved, where he wants the justice system to operate not with the blinders on, not blind justice, but selective justice.
Exactly. It's called rule of law. Rule of law in Canada, we had that for a long time. At least it was a goal we aspired to, but that's long gone. Rule of law means that everybody's treated the same under the law. And we saw that go by the wayside in COVID when for instance, our police chiefs across this country knelt with Black Lives Matter protesters during protests that were legal in COVID, according to the laws of the time, the numbers of people that could gather and such. And they blocked streets, and the police chiefs and police officers and even the prime minister in Ottawa got down on his knees with these people, despite the fact it was illegal, they were breaking the law. Then we saw them topple statues and vandalize public buildings and memorials and such, and the police stood by and did nothing. Ah, but then some poor guy in Etobicoke, Adamson's barbecue sandwiches, wanted to make sandwiches and keep his business going and keep his family fed and his mortgage paid. And the shop was, 100 yards that way, there's Costco, that's open. 100 yards the other way is Walmart, but that restaurant in between, they declared that that had to close. And they sent the Toronto Police Mounted Unit in to basically trample the people who were lined up for sandwiches. So one group had a pass, and the chiefs of police and politicians knelt down with them. But some guy trying to sell barbecued sandwiches, they shut him down. That's not rule of law. No. That's very selective.
Yeah.
And that's what we had. So back to Helen Gruss. Anyway, she's suspended. They're investigating. And lo and behold, the Ottawa police commenced a wiretap against Detective Gruss and her family. I want to explain something. And people's eyes tend to glaze over. Oh, it was a 188 wiretap instead of 186. There's a big difference. I spent years doing wiretaps in the police force. In order to get a wiretap, we try and look after people. By we, I mean Canada and the justice system. We try and look after people. We try and realize that the privacy violations on a wiretap are terrible. They are, because it's not just the target, the subject, the criminal who's being wiretapped. Their whole family is wiretapped. You hear everything. Because if their daughter picks up the phone, is it someone calling to leave a message for the criminal father? And when I first did that, I was very naive. I was 23 years old. And such things did I hear, Rod. I heard people asking their son, would you bring home a jug of milk? And then in the next phone call, plotting to abduct and rape the 15-year-old daughter of a bakery. The bakery owner wouldn't pay extortion, so they were going to kidnap and rape his daughter. I heard that.
No.
I heard murder plotted. I heard, you just never know who's living two doors down and across the street from you. But the point is, we heard all the fan, and I'm spending some time on this because it's important when we get back to Detective Gruss. I knew in one of the cases where we listened that the teenage daughter was pregnant for 3 months before she told her parents. I knew the grandma had a methamphetamine problem and that she kept a jug of vodka in the garden shed that no one knew about when she couldn't get the drugs from her dealer. Another case, I listened to a son as he sobbed to his father. He called his father at work and he found his mother in bed with another man. You hear everything when you wiretap a person, because you wiretapped your whole family. That's the way it is. And I just want to let people know how invasive it is. And that's why to get an ordinary wiretap authorization under Section 186, it takes you weeks to gather the evidence. You put together affidavits from other police officers, maybe some surveillance photos, some business records, whatever you can do to tell the judge and prove to them and swear under oath, we need this because it's the only thing we can do now. We've gone as far as we can. We desperately need this. We realize it's an invasion of privacy, but here's the sworn evidence, Your Honor. That's how warrants should be obtained. But that wasn't the case with Helen Gruss. There's an urgent emergency provision. Whereas a police officer, you go to the judge, and I've never had to do this, but you go to the judge in the case of a hostage taking, an abduction, a murder that's going to happen, something that's happening right now and you have to protect lives. And you say to the judge, it takes weeks to put together, a long time to put together the authorization. I promise I'll be back within 36 hours. Just give me the warrant. Here's the list of the names. We'll wiretap them. And I promise I'll come back within 36 hours with all the information. So the judge will authorize 36 hours. That's what they used on Detective Gruss. Hostage-taking, abduction, kidnapping, murder, plotting. That's what it's for. But they used that against her. And then they never came back with the evidence, Rod. It was a fishing expedition to try and see what they could get on her to stop her investigating the connection between the vax and dead babies. That's what they did. It was all revealed at the trial. So we heard the trial going on for 5 days. And it's right now, during that 5 days, we saw three police witnesses were cross-examined by the defense counsel. The defense counsel are really sharp. It's a chap by the name of Blair Ector and Bathsheba Vandenberg. They're out of Calgary. I think they've had some cases with Freedom Convoy members and such, but they are such a good team. Maybe if I'd have had them, I wouldn't have gone to prison. Anyway, so they're so good, but something absolutely incredible happened during the trial. Now, this is a hearing. It's a tribunal. Helen Gruss is charged with one count of discreditable conduct under the Ontario Police Services Act. It's not a criminal charge. It's not held in a real court. The judge, which was called the trials officer, I refer to him as the judge, just so people know, but the trials officer is a retired police superintendent, Ottawa police superintendent. So he's got skin in the game. He's a member of the club. The prosecution are one of the five or six lawyers that are on staff with the Ottawa Police Service. So they've got a loyalty and skin in the game. The investigator was, of course, a Ottawa police sergeant with the professional standards unit. And the witnesses, the other witnesses were also two officers from the SACA unit where Detective Gruss used to work. So what did we learn? Well, first of all, the whole thing was, I just haven't seen such an out of control trial hearing before. And it wasn't the defense, it was the prosecution. The defense would stand up to ask a question and the prosecutor would object before the defense even opened their mouth. How can you object to a question you haven't heard? Well, she did. Her name's Vanessa Stewart, and she did. Ms. Stewart did. And then on Wednesday, I believe it was, she complained to the hearings officer that she felt as if the defense counsel was going to physically assault her because of the way he was looking at her and gesturing with his hands while he was talking to the court.
What?
It's just insanity.
Yeah.
And the prosecutor was also basically saying to the, and look, I was allowed to record the whole thing because I'm a journalist, and I'm very grateful for that to the hearing officer. But that prosecutor basically said, you don't know about this case law because you're not a lawyer, so here it is. Just insulting him and directing him, and I've just never seen anything like it. And when the third witness came up, the third police witness against Detective Gruce, the prosecutor just seemed to go bananas about standing up and objecting, to the point where in 2 hours, only three questions were asked and answered. Can you believe that? I've never seen anything like that in my life. Well. And then we heard the great revelation. The prosecutor, Vanessa Stewart, and the police witness, Renee Stewart, are family. They're sisters-in-law.
You're kidding.
No. And it, you know, but wait, there's more. It gets worse.
Yeah.
It gets worse. First of all, there used to be another prosecutor on this case who was removed, and this Vanessa Stewart was placed onto it. Kind of looks like she was placed there to look after her family member. And we all thought when this was revealed by the defense that they had just learned something and they're putting it out there. No, this was addressed a month beforehand, and the judge, the trials officer, actually made a ruling that it was okay. So it's just all set. It's all arranged where they allow a prosecutor to protect a family member and the judge approves it. Well, as I spoke to one of my lawyer friends, and he's a man of great esteem, he's been for decades, he's a King's Counsel. And when I told him this, he just laughed. He said, full stop, 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 stop. It has to stop. If this happened in criminal court, both the prosecutor and the judge would have to answer. They would have to be accountable. The charge would be either there would be a retrial or it would be thrown out. So I don't know what's going to happen. I have no inside knowledge, but I suspect that the defense are going to file some motion to have it tossed on this. But the whole thing just stinks. And the other thing is, we also heard that during when Detective Gruce was interviewed on May 12th, 2022, by the Professional Standards Unit, Sergeant Arbuthnot is the detective, the sergeant investigator. Detective Gruce gave a file to him, a RAM stick, a USB stick, that had 1,000 pages on it of her investigations, leading her to believe that it was a criminal matter. Because, you know, these people who approved these vaccines, who pushed them on us, who mandated them, it was already known that these vaccines were killing and injuring people.
Yes.
Before they mandated them. That was known by various people. And my friend, that sounds like criminal negligence causing bodily injury and death to me. That's a criminal charge.
Yeah.
So Detective Gruce gave this evidence, which she had already been preparing for the Chief Slowly, who resigned in February during the convoy. But that came out in testimony that she had done that. And she gave this evidence to this Sergeant Arbuthnot. And what he did with it was exactly nothing, absolutely nothing. If I still had my authority, if I was still in charge of police officers and I had my badge, I'd be looking at that sergeant for neglect of duty under the Police Services Act. Absolutely. So the whole thing is just rigged. It is designed to stop the investigation of any connection between the vax and the deaths of infants.
Yeah.
And that's what our government is doing. That's what our police organization is doing. And this one courageous detective stood up and the whole system just came down, crashing down upon her. But it's all being shown now in the light.
So, two questions.
There we go.
Number one, how is she bearing up? And secondly, where is this going? This is an internal investigation with the police department. And does she have a path to get into a court of law where she may... if she gets a good judge, where she may actually not only be vindicated, but to be able to turn the tables on those who have unjustly driven her from her duty. She was doing this as a matter of duty, this investigation, and really to save lives. And she was taken off that. Consequences are probably that babies have died, presuming that her investigation was pointing in a direction that you and I probably agree on, and not everybody necessarily shares that view. But how likely is it, and how can this be turned into a good story? It's a very sad story up until now. What lies ahead? First, how is she doing herself?
Well, I she doesn't talk to the press, and neither does her lawyer. Okay. So what did I see on Monday, August 14th? I saw about 20 people gathered around her praying outside of the court of the building where the trial is being held. Mm-hmm. And it was very interesting because at that time, the trials officer walked by and was exposed to 20 or 30 members of the public praying around Detective Groos and laying hands on Detective Groos. And I thought that was something that was arranged. Mm-hmm. I mean, he didn't go in the back door. He came, he didn't know what was happening. He walked around that corner and boom. And I thought, well, thanks, Lord.
Yeah.
You know, you never know, right?
Exactly.
So obviously she has integrity. Obviously she has courage. She certainly is a believer, just from what I saw at that prayer meeting. Other than that, I don't know. She is someone we can all look up to. She really is. Now, what's going to happen? Okay. I have no inside information. I might be wrong, but from what I heard, it would not surprise me to see some sort of motion filed for this whole thing to be tossed based on the conflict of interest, which was undeclared to the public. I mean, it just made the whole thing a farce in the public's eyes. So there was a gasp in the courtroom. It was just audible gasp when that was revealed. So there's that. Really, the reputation and the credibility of the prosecutor, the hearings officer, and the Ottawa police have been brought into complete disrepute and need to be repaired. And that will take some transparency, but it also means that this has to stop. As my lawyer friend said, this has to stop. You either have to do a new trial or just throw it out. You really have to. Now, Detective Groos was obstructed. That's obstruct police on the criminal code. I think there's an investigation should be done there, but look, the club looks after the club. So depending on what happens and depending whether she's found guilty or not by this set up rigged court, well, she could appeal to the next venue, which would be an Ontario court. But Rob, what makes you think that would be any better? What makes you think that our judges, with some of the decisions that we've been seeing lately, where they've tossed out the charter, like the charter's there until the politicians basically declare it's not there and they can do whatever they want. That's the judgments that we've seen from many of the courts around here.
Yeah.
So why would you be so optimistic?
Well, sorry, I wouldn't say I'm optimistic, but you know, it is the only in a system that we have. It's basically our only recourse. Of course, ultimately everyone will answer to the judge who is always just and rules our Dominion of Canada, right? But I know in the short term, to have confidence that we will find justice in the legal system is, it is optimism, but it is the only system we have without a real shakeup of our Canadian.
It is. I always quote Winston Churchill. I misquote him. I steal his quote. because Canada's justice system is the worst of any, except for all the others.
Yeah, right.
Right. So, I stole that from Winston. Thanks, Winston. But there you go. So that's the report where we are now. This is a tremendously important case. They are saying, the prosecution and the police are saying, that Detective Helen Gruss did not have the individual right to launch an investigation and do this, quote, unauthorized investigation. That's what they said. And then we heard an absolute, the whole week was just full of jaw-dropping statements from the prosecution witnesses and the prosecutor. Sergeant Arbuthnot, who is the professional standards guy who investigated this and laid the charge and is pursuing it and interviewed Detective Gruss and everything. Now, the higher-ups rely on him and appointed him, this detective or this Sergeant Arbuthnot. They rely on him to establish and maintain the standards for the policing service. And you know, you need people doing internal investigations. But one of the things he said just brought a gasp to everyone's, it was just jaw dropping. He said that police officers don't have a right to contest or to even think about whether an order is lawful or not. They should just do as they're told. I'm paraphrasing it, but that's what he said.
Yeah, where have we heard that before?
Was it? Nuremberg? Was there a place called Nuremberg that I recall?
Something like that.
Yeah. But here's this very senior officer responsible to the upper level management who has been appointed for this purpose to establish standards and keep those standards. And he's saying individual police officers do not have the power to question whether a order is lawful or not. What?
We very much appreciate the thoughts of Pastor Matthew Truhella in his small book, The Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrates, where he makes it very clear, biblically and historically, that when gross injustice is perpetrated by those in higher positions of authority, it is not only the right, but the responsibility, the duty of those in lower positions to challenge, even at great personal cost. And that's what Detective Gruss has done and is doing. We thank you for following this story closely. We will want to talk with you as things unfold further in the future. The future is not always clear where things are going to go, but we do know and believe as Christians that when someone does the right thing for the right reason, even if the immediate consequences are not favorable, that ultimately there will be a judgment and that person will be exonerated, vindicated, and honored for doing the right thing at the right time. So
with absolutely.
Yeah, thank you for doing the right thing and covering this story. And for those who want to know more about Donald Best and his investigations and the Helen Gruss, want to follow him as he's covering the Detective Helen Gruss story and others, you can visit donaldbest.ca, donaldbest.ca. And we'll put that in the show notes as well. Donald, I appreciate you so much taking this time with us today.
Thanks so much. And well, happy to come back and let you know what happens in October or sooner. We'll see.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. And God bless you. Have a great day.
God bless you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.